and of each and every one of us. Help us, dear God, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, as we continue our study on being a first century church in a 21st century world, we're going to take a look at the power of the first century church. The power of the first century church. Now, in one verse of the New Testament, we find the key to unlock the secret of the first century church. It is the matter of God's power. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here we read, but ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, notice that. When do they get power? Once the Holy Ghost has come upon them. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what happens when they were endued with power from on high? Did they speak in tongues? Did they get slain in the spirit? Did they laugh uncontrollably? Or were they witnesses? They were witnesses, amen? And you know what? When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God comes upon you, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be a witness. You're not going to be ashamed of Jesus. You'll be able to talk about him openly to everybody, and you'll have some boldness and some courage about you. Now, not only is this verse talking about the power of the church, but it is a key verse for the book of Acts. Where did the first century get its power, that church there? Well, the power they got was from the Holy Ghost. And that power gave them the ability to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. It gave them power to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It gave them power to suffer persecution even unto death. They got that power from the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible says in Acts 4, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, they did not simply witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They did so with great power. Now, today we seem to know very little of this great power that was so evident in the church in the book of Acts. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So would that same power be available to the church today? Yes, it would. Now, when we speak of our God, we speak of a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, when you read about the book of Acts, it is the continuing work of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are lost. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Now, the power of God's Spirit quickens us from the dead and gives us life. He quickens that spirit part of man. Now, the message preached in the first century church was a powerful message of the resurrected Savior, and was proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things I think is missing behind so many pulpits is power. I mean, you know what? You got a lot of teachers behind there, and it's almost like you're sitting in a classroom in Bible college. Well, you know what? I sat in many classes in Bible college, and you know what? They didn't have the power that the pulpit did in the local church. And so what's needed today is more preachers filled with the Spirit of God delivering the Word of God to the people of God. Now, God's Spirit indwells those who have been redeemed, those who have asked Christ to forgive them of their sin, and by faith trusted in His finished work on Calvary. We are made alive by the Spirit. He indwells within us. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord comes to abide in us for how long? Forever. We have what kind of life? Eternal life. His desire, however, when we are indwelt by the Spirit, is to empower us to do God's work in God's way. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, the word power in verse 18 is not the word power that is used for the dynamite explosive power of God that Paul spoke about in Romans 1:16 when he wrote this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now the word power in Matthew 28 has to do with authority. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that it is his right, his authority, to say what he is saying. He has all right, all authority, and it is given to him. And that's why he tells us, and he tells the church, that's what he's telling here when we get the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 48, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are what? Witnesses of these things." You know, how many here are saved? Raise your hand. All right, do you know what? You're a witness. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are witnesses of these things." Now, I hope you understand that angels cannot preach the gospel. They don't know what it's all about. They cannot tell the story of salvation. They never witnessed it. But we are. We who are redeemed are to be what? Witnesses. We know what God has done in our lives. Do we not? You know, I get up in the morning, and most mornings I go right into reading my Bible and having a time of prayer. And oftentimes, I think every day, I may miss a day or two, but most days I'm thanking him for the work that he has done in my life, that I'm not the same person that I used to be. There's been some marvelous changes since I came to know the Savior. Not only in my life, but in my marriage and in my family. Things have gotten better. I've got in on life and life more abundantly, and what a wonderful thing that is. Now, how come we can't witness to that? How come we don't speak to others about that? Well, maybe it's we lack power. We're not relying on the Holy Spirit. Now, in Luke 24, verse 49, notice what it says. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now notice the word "until" and "power." Now God told them not to attempt to do his work until they had his power. Now we need to realize that we cannot do his work until we have his power. If we attempt to do his work without his power, we're going to be failures. Listen, everything about our Christian lives demand that we have God's power to accomplish his work in the way that God has designed to bring glory to him. You know, the other day, I go for walks probably, what, 4 or 5 times a week. And it's a pretty good long walk, almost 45 minutes to an hour. And you know what? I see this other guy walking, and he's got this ministry of restoring pastors who are burned out. Yeah, some of you are laughing. Now, why do you think they're burned out? They're doing the work of God in their own flesh. Now, I've been doing this for almost 28 years here. And not once have I got burned out. Now, every now and then I need to come apart or I'm going to come apart. You people drive me nuts. But what I'm trying to get at is never have I had burnout. You say, well, why is that? I'm not doing this work in the flesh. I'm relying on the Spirit of God to do the work through me. We are to do His work His way, and when we do it at work His way, we're going to be empowered from on high. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing this in the flesh. But you know what? There's some teachers that are just, they think this as a job and as a profession. They're not called to begin with. And I'm going to tell you something. If I weren't called, this is the last job I would want. Man, it's tasking. But thank God He's called me, He's empowered me, and I can stay focused, and I can do His work in the way He wants it done. Now, we must not be confused when considering the power of the first century church. We are not simply speaking and having powerful meetings. These were people, individual believers who were filled with God's power. Since we are all in the Lord's work together, don't you think we all need His power? Oftentimes, churches don't function God's way, and they lack God's power. So what do? They depend on something else rather than the Holy Spirit, who alone empowers them to do the work of God. Now, the power of the first century church was not about how they performed or what strategy they might have had. The power of the first century church rested entirely upon their dependence and allegiance to the Lord God in the person of His indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people go to church, they want to be entertained. They like the performance that is going on. Is there power in that? Not at all. You can go to Vegas and get just as much from that. They're looking for cheap entertainment. You know, we face so many temptations today in the Lord's work. You know, every now and then I get a call or I get some kind of flyer, and we want to market your church, and if we market your church is going to grow. Wow! I didn't see that in the first century church. But you know what? Everything needs to be bigger. Everything needs to be brighter. Everything, you know, we do everything we can to try to draw people into the church. And what's happening is we're not even building the church on the first century church model. We're not relying on this Holy Spirit anymore. Some rely on physical power. They rely on what the flesh can do. Hello, Maynard, pick up the phone. That's why Christians face burnout. That's why they're not living in the way that they should. They rely on what they can do. And if they can't do it, neither can their God. They rely on physical power. Some rely on financial power. You know, it's sad to see many Christian people who think the answer is to give more money to something. You know, you give more money, then you know what? You can advertise more. You get more money, then you know what? You can support more missionaries. You get more money. And I mean, everything needs to run on money. Just throw money at it. How many of you think the first century church was a hotbed of wealth? How many think they were doing a better job than all these churches with their money? So why are we relying on financial wealth? You know, I remember this one guy when I first got here. He told me, it was after about a year or two, it was 2 years, because we had our second reorganization. But anyways, he told me this. He said, preacher, if I leave, I'm taking my tithe with me, and this church will go under. You know, it was about 3 months later, and he left. And we went under. No. More than 25 years later, we're still at it. And here's what I told them. I said, we don't need you and we don't need your money. What we need around here is God. We made it. Yeah, he even paid off this building early. We were renting at the time. Unbelievable, isn't it? But you see, if it ain't for money, we can't do anything. Now that's a bunch of garbage. Then you have mental power. You rely on your own mental faculties. What you reason. What you think is right. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy might, right? And lean not unto thy what? You know why you're not supposed to lean unto your own understanding? Because we're all doofuses. Stop thinking too highly of yourself. And when you don't consult the Lord and get an answer from Him, you're just demonstrating your pride. Mental power. You know, people love intellect. And you know what? Some of them think they really got more than the rest of us. Now, maybe they do. But you know what? It's almost like they should put on a bumper sticker, you know, pray that I do not die because the gene pool will be just devastated if I do. You know, I got some family members that they are intellectual. They're Mensa. You know what Mensa is? Yeah, that's that high IQ society. You know, and I look at them and I think, really, are you that bright? And they look at me as some just dumb country bumpkin preacher that believes what God says. Yeah! I can't outsmart God like they can. Now don't be saying, oh, some of you are the same way. You look at something in the Bible and you say, well, I don't think that's right. You know, I've experienced something different. Boy, all of a sudden they're getting quiet now. You know, when I talk about my family, you can, Then when I point the finger at you, all of a sudden it gets quiet. You do the same thing. And shame on you for doing so. You know, I learned a long time ago when I first got saved, I'm an idiot. I'm a sheep. When God calls us sheep, that's not a compliment. I hope you understand that. You know, they're one of the what? Dumbest animals around. So don't think so highly of yourself. But you rely on your mental power. You know, what a sad situation and indictment that is on you. You know, you think you got all this intellectual knowledge and you rely on that and what your reason and how things line up for you. You know, if I did that, I'd have never came here. I'd have never went to my first church. You say, really? Yeah. How many here are willing to take a 75% pay cut to go pastor a church and be filled with headaches? And then when you're living below poverty line, then you move out here for zero. How many willing to do that? Things just lined up. All the circumstances were in my favor. So that's why I did what I did. Are you listening? Crazy, isn't it? But we think we know better. We don't even consult God. Why should we? We got it. Crazy, isn't it? You know, we have learned to live without the power of God's Holy Spirit. I hope you realize that, you know what? You can't raise your children without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will not be prepared for the day. You will not be guided correctly unless you're dependent upon God, the Holy Spirit, to guide you and instruct you. And by the way, that Holy Spirit doesn't have a feminine voice either. You say, what you talking about? Talking about your wife doing all the guiding. Telling you what to do, what you're going to do, and everything else. Shame on you! Man up! Get your directions from God Himself. Who cares what she says? We need to come to the place where we give our lives to Him and allow Him to control us. How many think that's how the early church operated? Yeah, about six of us. We must read our Bibles. Aren't we supposed to obey? Aren't we supposed to trust? Aren't we supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God? Once again, there goes Pastor Rainey flying around like an angel, strumming his harp, harping about something. He's always harping about being filled with the Spirit. You know why? Because you're not. You haven't even asked again this morning. I don't know how many times I got to tell you. I don't know how many times you got to read that about the importance of it in the Scripture. You can't be the husband. You can't be the wife. You can't be the child you ought to be. I can't be the pastor. You can't be the person in the pew you ought to be unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. If I'm going to live the Christian life, I need not forsaken assembling of myself with others. The Bible says, not forsaken assembling of ourselves together as the manner of what? Man, I meet a lot of some is's out there. So many born again Christians, that's what they tell me, they don't go to church. And then they want to lie to me. Well, I can be a good Christian without going to church. And you know what? I'm done. I'm done with it. I now confront them. I say, no, you can be a disobedient Christian by not going to church. Don't talk to me about being good when you're disobedient. You know, my dad never thought I was good when I disobeyed him. Not once. Well, you're a good boy. I don't, you know. Nah, come over here, son. I got some correcting I need to apply to you. You know, we need what we receive in a Spirit-filled church service. We need what the Bible is taught, where God's word is preached with power. We need to sing the great hymns that stir our hearts. And we need to be taught biblical truth and biblical doctrine. And we need to be Spirit-filled so we can do it. We need the Lord. You know, I can't be the husband to Connie that I need to be if I'm not Spirit-filled. Can't. You say, are you always Spirit-filled? No. You say, how do you know? Just ask Connie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is she always Spirit-filled? No. You say, who should you ask? Leave me out of it. No, I'm only kidding. But it's amazing, isn't it? Notice what it says. I want to show you this. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to see it? Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine. Yeah, you could say, and be not drunk with your flesh, because that's what you're controlled by. if you're not filled with the Spirit. Right? That's all talking about control here, right? Wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. All right, now how many think it's wrong to be drunk with wine? Now, how many would say, well, a little wine for thy stomach's sake's okay? No, that's sinful too. But being drunk with wine is sinful, right? Amen. So how many would say that not being filled with the Spirit is sin? Oh, not quite as many as eager to raise their hand. That's sinful too, is it not? Amen. Let's go on. And speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Did you see that? Yep. Now, if you're filled with the Spirit, are you going to be singing old rock and roll? Are you going to be singing country music? Are you going to be singing rap music? Are you going to be singing all this other stuff? Or are you going to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Amen. Amen. That's what it says, right? Singing and making what? Melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Giving thanks, griping always. Is that what it says? Complaining always. No. Giving thanks always for what? How many things? Oh, whoa. So let me ask you, if you're not grateful for all things, and you're complaining and whining and grumbling and murmuring when things don't go your way, ask yourself the question, am I filled with the Holy Spirit when I do those things? No, you're telling on yourself. Well, it's getting mo better all the time. Unto God and the Father in the name of our what? Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. This is all in the same context, all in the same paragraph, is it not? Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Husbands, submit yourself unto your own wives. Oh, I must have. Did I grab one of your Bibles? I think the Bible, I'm going to use my power of reasoning. I think God misconstrued that. Did he? No, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Okay, so let's read it right. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So let me ask you this. So if I'm a husband and I'm not the head of my home, am I Spirit-filled? Yeah. Is my wife who dominates me Spirit-filled? Yeah. Oh. Some of you have been operating like this for years. You say, how can that be? Because you're not filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll fulfill your God-given role within the home without question. Okay, let's go on. I see the joy coming across your mugs by the moment. For the husband is the what? Oh. But she's the neck that turns the head. Isn't that true? No. Doesn't say that, does it? Okay. Some of you are already... Your smile is becoming even greater as the moments go on. Correct? For the husband is the head of the what? That's what it says. Even as Christ is the head of the what? Okay. How many believe Christ is the head of this church? Raise your hand. Okay. Have I ever said this is my church? No. Did I ever say it's your church? No. It's whose church? And he's the head. And we operate it like he wants it operated. You say, why is that? Because we're filled with the Spirit. If your home is not operated the way God wants it operated, ask yourself the question, am I filled with the Spirit? And the answer obviously is a big, hard no. You say, preacher, why don't you get off that stuff? Okay, let's go on. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, amen, so let the wives, be to their what? In what they choose. Oh, it don't say that, does it? Too bad, too sad for you. In what? In everything. Did you see that? So let's say I tell Connie, okay, this is what we're going to do. She says, I don't want to do that. No, and there's nothing wrong with it, right? It's just like, let's say we're going to do something. I said, let's go do it. And she said, no, I ain't going to do that. Forget that. That's not what I want. Now, would she be considered filled with the Spirit? Oh. What if she comes like this and starts wagging her finger in my face? Because I'm not submitted to her. She'd have three fingers. Are you listening?
Amen.
And how many things? Air thing. Now, I didn't write it, did I? And then notice your job. Husbands, what? Love your wives, even as also Christ loved the what? Here's the problem. You husbands aren't submissive to Christ as the head of your home. And then that just has a ripple effect all the way down. Since you're living in rebellion and not fulfilling your God-given role, your wife thinks she can live in rebellion and not feel her God-given role. But here's the thing. If you loved your wife as Christ loved the church, you wouldn't have a problem submitting to you. And if you loved your wife like Christ loves the church, you'd be the head of the home, you loser. You say, well, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I know you folks were itching for that anyways. See, I don't want to get in trouble for being misunderstood. I want you to get mad at me for being clearly understood. Man, when are we going to get to preaching? Yeah, we still got more. Just hang around. So how is it? Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you know the power of God upon your life? Or are you simply going through the motions, doing it by the flesh? You know, we talk about, and I don't, you know, I mention this often about the dependence on the Holy Spirit, and yet we still think we can manage without Him. You know, when Jesus said, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Could you imagine being one of those disciples? You're going, huh? I think that was a startling statement. They're probably thinking, man, how are we going to reach the world? Are you nuts? They probably didn't say that about the Lord, but you know, they knew better. But they're probably thinking, how are we going to do this? That's impossible. We're just fishermen, common folk. But they understood that if they were endued with power from on high, He would enable them to do what God would have them do. You see, we need to do God's work God's way. We don't need the flesh. Flesh don't help us none at all. Matter of fact, the flesh and the spirit are always at one another, are they not? Now, when the Holy Spirit filled these apostles, that happened on the what? Day of Pentecost, did it not? Now, they had a 10-day prayer meeting before that promise ever came upon them. I wonder how long we spend in prayer about being filled with the Spirit. But this much I know. You know what? You could talk to some believers. Check this out. They never talk about the Lord. They never do. You know, they talk about the weather. Talk about maybe their family. Talk about maybe some kind of sporting event or what they did that week. But they don't talk about the Lord. Why would they not talk about the Lord? There you go! Can I tell you something? If you're talking to another believer, they don't care about you losing socks in your dryer. They don't care. They really don't. Talk to them about something meaningful. And you know what? You will if you were filled with the what? The Spirit. Wow. You say, preacher, man, you hit this hard. I'm hoping I could even hit it harder. Because we need this. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. I can't stand that person. Okay. Some of you already, I'm not feeling the love. Love what? I sucked it right out at some of you this morning. Love, joy, what? Peace. You know, you ought to be settled no matter what happens in your life. Love, joy, peace, what? Long-suffering. You know what that long-suffering means? It means you got to you practice that with people. Right? Practice that with people. You said, man, I've been long-suffering with you, preacher, for 20, almost 8 years. That's okay. Suffer a little longer. I don't plan on going anywhere. Long-suffering. What's the next one? Gentleness. I took out my mink glove this morning, didn't I? I stroked that ego and made you feel all nice, warm, and fuzzy. Correct? Gentle what? Goodness. Yeah. You ought to be good. It means kind of being godly, isn't it? You know, you can be good to other people even when they do you wrong. You don't have to fly off the handle and do all kinds of nutty stuff. You don't have to wig out, get tore out of the frame. And then what's the next one? Meekness. What? Faith. Okay. You guys are confusing me. That word there means faithful. You know, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll exude the fruit of the Spirit. You know what you'll be faithful in? You'll be faithful every day to read your Bible. Right. You'll be faithful in your prayer life. You'll be faithful to come to church. You'll be faithful in your giving. You'll be faithful in your witness. You'll be a faithful spouse. Well, that's some pretty good stuff, isn't it? Faith, meekness. You know what that is? That's power under control. Yeah. Power under control. You know, Moses was a quite powerful guy, wasn't he? But yet he was called the meekest man on earth. Jesus was quite powerful, don't you think? And yet he was meek and lowly, was he not? Meekness, then temperance. Temperance is, some people say it's self-control, but I really believe it's spirit control. Because if you're controlled by the Spirit, you won't go off in a, you know, you'll have some control over your because you're under his control. That's kind of what we're talking about this morning, ain't we? All right, now I'm going to get off that subject and we're going to have a little break. And we'll have some more.